Other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning and welcome to another hour with your hosts. It's Thursday, February 6th.
One more day.
Mia. I've been thinking about it. I'm so sad, man. I'm so friggin' sad.
Where? I know.
Yeah. And you're going to friggin' Indonesia, of all places.
Yep.
So, not much sorrow for you there. I mean, you have a lot of stuff to look forward to. But yeah. I have to look forward to finding someone new, getting used to her, and all that stuff. So,
Well, in case within those 2 weeks that I'm gone, if you don't find anybody, I'll come back
for the third time.
Yeah, until my next crazy venture.
Yeah,
you just have like 2 weeks of auditioning and being like, "Well, just kidding, yeah. Me is coming back."
Well, that's actually what happened the first time. That's funny, man. We don't want to do this to people.
I know.
So we'll have to be sure. I wouldn't mind taking a couple of weeks off, but I really can't, you know.
Right. I know.
The show has to go on, man. People are tired of us taking a break.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Our reruns aren't good enough for y'all?
Yeah. Well, they've heard them already.
I know.
The hell, you know?
I know. Classic.
So, yeah, I know. But so you're leaving when? On the weekend?
Saturday.
Wow.
It's really trippy because Saturday night, I mean, the flight is super late, which is good for me because it'll, you know, be like, you know, on my body clock, it'll force me to fall asleep.
Right.
Because it's about like, I don't know, like 11:30 at night.
Yeah.
And, but when we get there, like on the date, we'll be like technically like 2 days later.
Oh, yeah.
So it's weird.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm leaving on a Saturday night. But I don't get there till like, you know, like Monday like afternoon or something.
Right.
Like it's something really bizarre like that.
Wow.
Like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
So, yeah.
Is it a direct flight there?
It's kind of trippy. Going there, well, I know for sure coming back, I'm flying. No, I think there is a connection. Because I know coming back, like the Hello Kitty plane does from Jakarta to Taipei.
Right.
And then, you know, it's just like, I think 5 hours. And then from Taipei to LAX is like I don't even want to know.
Yeah,
like,
probably like
11 or 12 hours or something crazy.
Probably.
So, yeah,
well, when I fly to Israel,
it's
like 14
flight.
Hours, you know. So it's long flights. It's hard to handle.
Yeah, and I've flown to, you know, Europe and Australia and, you know, I've had
that's true.
Long
pretty far.
Flights before. Yeah, that was like a full day of flying. That was just insane.
I know. I don't know, man. I would get like really, really nervous on the plane going for that long, you know. I mean, even the 14 hours when I go. So that's why I try to sleep most of the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it works, you know, it works. I mean, the thing is, it's worth it at the end when you get there.
Right, you know? Right, yeah.
So you just sacrifice a little bit. And stuff, you know. It's just amazing a plane can stay up for that long, you know.
I know. These machines are absolutely incredible. But, I mean, going there, you know, I'll be going with, you know, other people and, like, crew members and stuff like that. So we'll be, like, flying together. So hopefully we'll be, like, sitting by each other. We can, you know, talk whatever. But then, you know, coming back, I'll be just super stoked because it's a Hello Kitty plane.
I know.
So either way, you know, it's not going to be the end of the world. The worst was like flying to, I think it was I think it was Italy. No. Italy was the great flight because I had like a full row of like five seats to myself. Like I just moved back and just like laid down and slept. But no, I'm thinking it was when I went to England for New Year's, the year after I'd gone to Italy. And I was flying, I think it was Delta, and I was in an aisle seat, and there were two like massive people on the other side of me. Thank God I was in the aisle. It was a husband and wife. I mean, very nice, but just really big people.
Right.
So I had, you know, it was kind of like, you know, cramped as far as room goes. And to make it even worse, my little seat back thing, like the button that you press, because I paid like an extra, you know, amount of money to get like this sort of like, I don't know if it's like economy plus, you know, where like the seat goes back a little further and you have just a little bit more leg room. And you know, and you get a free drink,
right,
and all that. So I'm like, all right, cool. But the thing doesn't work. So my seat back doesn't. So I can't even lean back. That was awful. And then I made the mistake of being like, oh, okay, like I'll get, you know, whiskey, whatever. Like it'll, you know, relax me, you know, put me to sleep. And then my mom gave me like Benadryl or something. She goes, oh, like this will knock you out.
Right.
Not really thinking, you know, putting two and two together was a really bad choice.
Really? So what, did you get sick or what?
No, I was just, it was like, I felt, you know, I don't really know what it's like to trip out on drugs, but I'm guessing that this is what it feels like.
Really?
Wow. I was like, oh my God, I was so antsy. I couldn't sit still for 2 seconds. I had to keep getting up and walking around. And I was like, I was just straight tripping. It was awful. Wow. And it lasted
and
for a while.
And you're stuck on a plane. Too.
And I was stuck on a plane. Wow. And I couldn't get my seat back to work. That was probably the biggest like flight nightmare I'd ever gone through.
Wow. Wow. Benadryl and whiskey, man.
Bad combination. Don't
obviously.
Don't I don't know. It was not good. It was like the time that my friend gave me a Mucinex when I kind of recently when I wasn't feeling so well, like I don't know, a few months back or whatever. And do you remember that? And I came here and I was all like, wired and tripping. I'm like, I don't understand. She said it was Mucinex. I was like, out of my mind. I guess I just react weird to medication. I think because I'm so like. All natural, you know, like I don't even take like Tylenol if I have a headache, you know, I'm very like, I will suffer through it, I'll whatever, you know, like I'm very, very you know,
like
natural.
Lightweight
remedies.
And stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I never take small. Anything. So I think that might be why once I do, my body just freaks out.
Well, that's good. Keep it pure and clean. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad thing, you know.
Yes, now that officially the antibiotics are out of my system.
Yeah.
I'm so happy. I had a flaming margarita last night.
Oh, so you did have the margarita.
I did. I only had one. Because I was like, oh my, you know, El Compadres, you know, they make their drink strong, okay? My goodness. Yeah. No, it was good. It was nice to finally be out.
And, great. So you went out with your friends and stuff?
Chit chat. Yeah. Girl talk.
Sounds good.
Catch up. All that fun stuff. So, yeah. Sounds and now I'm cool. Like, by the way, I'm leaving. So they're like, what?
Wow.
So everyone's saying, like, we haven't seen you for weeks. And now you're going to be gone for like 2 weeks. I'm like, sorry.
Yeah. Well, they'll have to bear with you. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Did you, a couple more things before we bring in our guest who's sitting here patiently. Did you hear about this like controversy now with The Biggest Loser? I guess this woman lost a lot of weight and they're saying she went too far. She's like, I think she went down to like 105 or something.
Oh, my.
And people are saying, wow, she went too far, you know. And the thing is that, I don't know what's better or worse, but I mean, when I look at her here, she was obese. You know, I mean, she was really big.
Right.
So if she succeeded in this, you know, I don't see why anybody should question that.
Hmm.
What do you think?
I mean, isn't that the whole goal for the show? Like,
right.
The name of the game is, okay, how much weight can you lose?
Right.
So, I mean, but I again, like, I don't know how tall she is. I don't know her body type. Like,
right.
Maybe... You know what I mean? If she's looking skeletal and anorexic,
she doesn't really look skeletal.
Then that's scary.
She looks pretty good.
That's a problem. But if she looks good and she's healthy and within her means, then good for her.
Right. Yeah, it's just that I saw something on TV and all the experts are coming out saying, the reason she got obese is because she has eating disorders. So now she's doing it by not eating at all. So she still has an eating disorder, blah, blah, blah. You know?
Oh, okay.
So, but... You know, I mean, I'd rather be skinnier than as heavy as she was. My God. So did you ever watch the show? I mean, I never watch it, you know. But
I think I caught part of it once. I just know they have, like, they have them on the treadmill, then the bike, and then they have them hiking, you know, and the trainers are, like, really pushing them, like, come on, like,
right.
And they'll get tired and lay down, and they'll be like, no, you can't, like, get up, keep pushing, you know. And it's all, like, intense, and then they have, like, you know, the voting off ceremonies, and they have these people like stepping on scales, and they're like, oh, you lost more weight than you did. You are out of the game or something.
But it's amazing. I mean, the workout they go through, it's rigorous for what? Like months, right? I mean, it takes like months to lose
all that. Yeah. And they're, like nutritional diets and stuff like that.
Working out.
Too,
and, wow.
Yeah.
That's hard work, man. I mean, your life becomes the center of your life.
Yeah, but I mean, you have to really want it. That's
right.
The thing, too. Like, how bad do you really want to lose this weight?
Yeah.
You know, it's not an easy thing.
Exactly.
I think people think, oh, just do what they tell me and suffer through it, go on the Biggest Loser and, you know, lose a lot of weight. But it's, you know,
well,
you have to really want it.
That's true, you know, and it takes you a while to get that obese, so then it's going to take you at least that long to lose all that weight, if
and
not
completely
longer.
Change your diet too.
Yeah.
They're used to a very like high sugar diet, and they probably, you know, I don't know how you would survive in there, Sam, because they probably don't let you have soda. So
no diet soda.
I didn't say pop.
The diet soda. Oh, you're saying because of the nutrition part,
right?
Of it.
Yeah, okay. They're probably very strict. They only let them probably drink water and eat, you know, lean meats and vegetables and stuff like that. So.
Right.
I mean, I'm just guessing. I could be wrong, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. I'm never going to have to worry about it because I'll never get that obese.
Right. Oh, no.
So,
you're...
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You're good, Sam.
I suppose I am, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's okay. I wanted to let you know about the snooze button. They're saying that it's not a good thing to use the snooze button. And I use it.
Snoozing.
I know. I snooze for like half an hour, you know.
I do too.
You know. But look what they're saying. They're saying that you actually will be more groggy when you get up in the morning because you're going back to sleep, but you're not really allowing yourself to finish the cycle.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, so, the REM thing.
Exactly. And we talked about that before and stuff. But, you know, and they're saying that, you know, the sleep is such poor quality, which it is, you know.
Right.
Because I know when I'm snoozing, I'm constantly thinking, okay, I have to get up. And it's like crappy sleep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't know how I'm going to get up like the first time the clock goes off, you know. That's hard.
Yeah, it is tough. You really need to like train your body to do that. Like some people that are, they're just like that. Once they're up, they're up.
They can just
like
jump
out
of bed.
As soon as their covers are off, then they're just jumped out of bed. And,
right. You
know, it's like, you know, even if it's like super like robotic, like their mind isn't awake, but like their body will be awake and they'll just start getting ready for the day.
Right.
So, I mean, that's not me, but
that's not you.
Some people are just, you know, just like that.
Yeah.
So, lucky them.
Yeah, indeed. All right, Mia. Well, we have a special guest in the studio. Very beautiful indeed.
Yes.
I was encouraged when I got to the studio this morning, and I figured we have a break with all the guys, and now we get someone who's finally beautiful that's pleasant to look at.
Yes,
but,
she definitely is.
Not that the guys you brought in are not easy on the eyes. I mean, they've been pretty... They've been pretty handsome too, you know, but we'll give them credit where it's due.
Yeah.
But it's not my cup of tea, you know that. So we have Anya. Welcome to the show, Anya.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So tell us who she is and how you came to know her and all that. She's your friend, right?
Yes. Okay. Anya's a very, very good friend of mine. She's always like so well put together. Like her outfits, like every time I see her, she has perfect makeup, perfect hair, perfect outfit. I'm like, who are you? It drives me nuts. Like she's just always looking perfect. I'm so jealous.
You gotta look presentable when you leave the house, right, Anya?
Yes, I mean, you never know where the day is going to take you. I usually start the day, I already have some meetings set up, and then, next phone call can be getting you somewhere else. You just get out of the house being ready for the day and see where the road takes you.
Exactly. And it makes you feel better about yourself, right?
Yeah.
You feel a lot more self-confident and stuff. I know I can't leave the house without shaving and taking a shower and all that. I mean, I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
Even for myself, you know, I can't stand to look at myself in the mirror.
Yes, even for me, like, I will pick out my outfits, like, the night before. Because I don't like scrambling trying to figure out, oh, my God. Like, I will, like, jewelry, everything, every accessory, I will piece it all together before I go to bed.
Really?
So I know when I wake up, like, okay, this is, you know, this is what I'm going to look like.
Yeah. Sounds like you put much more work than I do. That's for sure.
Well, see, it doesn't come easily for me. Like, I really have to think. Like, this outfit today, I'm, like, trying to hold this scarf up. I knew I wanted to wear the scarf because we talked about wearing scarves yesterday.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, I'm going to wear a fashion
weather,
scarf.
Yeah.
So I'm, like, holding it up to, like, all different shirts and pants. Like, oh, what matches? Does this look weird? Does this look okay?
Uh-huh.
You know, like, it takes me a while.
Right.
To, you know, figure out, you know, what works, you know, fashion-wise.
Yeah.
For some people, they could just put a couple things together and it looks perfect all the time.
Yeah.
I don't really have that talent. It takes me a minute.
Well, what matters is the result. So you look beautiful and old fashionable.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Mia, you're banging, I think, your chair on the table. I can hear it all the time.
That's
not my chair.
I'm not. Yeah, no, I hear something banging.
Yeah, you're just touching the table. I don't know. Anyway,
Go
back. Go back to the topic.
Anyways, but yeah, Anya and I met just through mutual friends. We have a great group of females that, you know, I've gotten to know and love, and
So you guys hang out sometimes?
Probably, like, well, at least once a week we see each other.
Oh, and, nice.
Once Mia is in town, sometimes she's out of town. We miss her through the holiday season, but now we're gonna miss her again.
Yeah,
I know, I'm sorry.
Well,
I feel so guilty now for leaving.
Guilty. How much, you know, you care about the way you look. You know.
Yes, that's true. You know, I mean, I wouldn't say I put too much effort into it, really. And I, just like everyone else, I like to have some casual days and, you know, just put some, you
jeans
know, leggings, jeans or sweater and, you know, just get in my way.
Right.
It really depends, like, when I know what's sort of happening through the day. If I know it will be very, like, casual, just, you know, my own time running errands and not possibly something is going to happen. I'm not going to have some important meeting. Yeah, I totally love to put on some sun dress
or
something casual and just be comfortable and enjoy the day. But if I know there's going to be something happening, I'm going to have some meetings, I'm going to have to go see clients, I'm going to go to the office, I want to, you know, present myself as a professional and be seen by my clients the same way.
Right. And do you drive a Mercedes too?
Actually, I do.
You see?
Say,
all the real estate, it's like that, you know? Because I think maybe you think that the clients expect it or something, you know? So you just got to drive.
Yes. You know, honestly, I mean, I had my Mercedes before I became real estate agent. I just I just like the car.
Yeah.
But I have a second car as well that it's like more...
Right. Well, you see, she's living the life, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
she knows what she's doing.
You got America by the testicles, let me tell you. So, where are you originally from?
I was born in St. Petersburg, Russia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And that used to be Leningrad, right?
Yes, it was used to be... Well, original first name was St. Petersburg.
Right.
Then it was named to Petrograd. Then it was named to Leningrad. And
finally... I didn't know that.
Yes, it was changed back to original name, which is St. Petersburg.
Right, after the USSR fell and all that. Wow.
I didn't know that. Interesting history lesson.
Yeah, there you go, you see. A lot of history in Europe.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, actually, like, majority of people... We're very happy about this change because it's like, can you imagine, you name the baby specific name and then you keep changing it.
Right.
It's kind of like same for the city. The city was named this way for a specific reason, right?
Right.
So as the history goes by, these people just keep deciding like, oh, well, let's just change the name again.
Right.
Because it just doesn't make sense. So when they returned the original name, it was kind of like a relief because the city is very beautiful, has a lot of culture. And I think the St. Petersburg name represents the city much better than any other.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think so, too, you know. So is it a pretty big city? It is, right?
Yes, it's the second biggest city in Russia.
Right. Wow. So you come from the big city, and that's what attracted you to LA too, right?
Yes, correct. I was born and raised in a big city, so you kind of become, you know, you just don't know better. You feel right. this energy of the city. You're used to having people around you, cars. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I like to have, little getaways to Santa Barbara or, you know, some cabin in Big Bear or, deserts right. for a couple of days. But then you sit there and like, okay, well, now I'm all rusted yeah. and I'm, what's next?
What do I do now, right?
What's next? Where do I go? What do I do now?
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So what was your childhood like? Did you have a nice childhood?
Yes, I had a nice childhood. Of course, I mean, it was double cold. We were in the Cold War and it was pretty cold yeah, in Russia.
That's true.
But other than that, my childhood was very... like blessed and happy. My grandfather was an officer of the Second World War, uh-huh. so my family was taken care of sort of from by the government, and it was a good childhood.
Wonderful. Do you have any siblings, brothers
no,
or sisters?
No, I'm the only child.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So you got all the attention.
I guess I did. Yeah.
yeah. I mean, there is like the. The only child theories and things like that, mm-hmm. you know. Do you feel that, did you ever want siblings when you were younger or
no,
were you okay
I did,
with it?
Yes, I did, when I was a child, of course, maybe like in the kindergarten, you like, well, you know, some of your friends back in that day have little sisters or brothers, they play. And at some point I wanted to, but you know, it's like, I don't want to sound like bad, but you know, it's the truth. And one day you kind of like sit there and it comes like a, you know, revelation sort of. You're like, hang on a second. So if I'm going to have someone else, does it mean I have to share a candy or, you know, something else? And you're like, and it comes to you pretty early, like in childhood. You're like, you know what? I don't really want to share that candy. So, it was not my decision, basically,
right.
anyways. My parents decided they don't want to have any more children. They're still together, so I'm the only child.
Awesome.
But I don't think, like, I was spoiled by any means. First of all, like, we didn't have much back in the USSR to be spoiled
right.
with anything, really.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I think it kept us grounded for the most of the time. And then my parents raised me in a way that it was sort of you have to earn things, not just like get them, you know,
right.
just because you're the
exactly,
only child,
right.
it doesn't come to you like right
that's
away.
That's a good thing to teach your children, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I have more than one child and they... and they think they deserve everything, you know. But no, it's not that bad, really. I mean, when my kids were young, they never demanded anything, you know. They never, like, started throwing tantrums and stuff like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it is in how you're raised at home, you know. So at what point did you move here? Did you move with your family or did you move by yourself?
My father started his business the moment the USSR, you know, fell down.
Right.
And he came to United States for a business trip in 1991.
Uh-huh.
And when he came back, he was very blown away with the differences, you know, in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the time when our country pretty much collapsed, you know.
Right.
The government was not paying, the plants were shut down, people didn't really know what to do, and of course, you know, stores were running out of supplies. It was not a good situation, and so when he comes here and from, like, nothing, you come into the country that has everything pretty much,
right.
not only, but everything, but in multiple options.
Right.
Let's say, like, 15 types of bubble gum at each, you know,
yeah.
gas station.
And there's so much abundance.
It's like it's a very small things that really blows your mind. So
exactly.
It was pretty much the best year of my childhood because he came back with jeans and Barbies.
Yeah,
and
he would bring
gum.
All the presents. I know. I've been there. I know what it's like, man. I mean, you know. And when I was like a teenager, my dad would bring me, like, I would ask him for certain albums and you know, music and things like that, because it came out here before it came out overseas. You know, so you'd be
right.
like the cool kid, you know, with the new album before anybody
like
else had it.
Ahead of the game. Yeah.
yeah.
Well, I was super cool kid because I just showed up in some Jordan jeans,
yeah.
some Barbies,
and you didn't even have to share it.
Well, you know, at that point you kind of want to, and then you just share, you know, bubble gums with all your friends.
Yeah,
cool. So
made you popular.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And so at that point, when he came back, he said, you know, it's like when I saw what it is, what that country has to offer, I really want you to be there. It's like, I don't want you to wait when our country will get back on its feet. I think you should start learning English, and I think this is the future, like, for you to be.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay, so I started, you know, extensive English classes right away, and finished my special English school and then college.
Right.
And pretty much in, like, in the mid-college, I started thinking, you know, if I want to do a move. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that as a part of my English studying, I went to United States in 1995 as like a school exchange program. And it's still, you know, just like 4 years after sort of the Cold War, you know, was over.
Right.
It was pretty amazing because that's when I learned on my own experience how welcoming and sweet Americans are, you know, despite all we were told.
Right.
And what we were thinking and how, like, we were, you know, taught about the United States.
Right.
When we came in, we were very excited. No one was scared. We were so excited. It's like, you know, going to the moon, pretty much.
Right. So they sort of like in Russia, they demonized America, right?
Same as Russia. Americans were, you know, told about Russia. We were like
exactly.
the biggest enemy.
The evil empire.
Yeah, exactly. And it was pretty amazing to see that whatever it was really on the level of the government and people really were so welcoming and so sweet. We were kids, and right. we actually came to the United States during the Christmas holidays and New Year's. And when I saw those beautiful Christmas trees, like that, you know, we have uh-huh. here now mm-hmm. all the time, I was blown away. And all these presents, we got so many presents from the like welcoming families.
Wow.
It was pretty amazing. And that's when I realized that, you know what, this country is amazing. People are very sweet, very welcoming, very open-minded, and that everything that we thought or we were told is completely not true.
Wow.
So basically that was kind of the seed, you know, in my mind. And by the time I was like mid-college, I really started thinking, well, you know, maybe I should really do it, you know.
Right.
I spent all this time sort of preparing, and yeah, it was, you know, good timing. It was nothing holding me back, really. And I'm like, well, if I'm going to try, I'm going to try it now.
And I think once you get the taste of America, it's like you get the bug, right?
Yeah.
You can't get it out of your system anymore. You know, it's like, I have to go there.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
that's amazing.
Yeah,
I mean,
amazing
I was born and raised in America, you know.
Right.
But, I mean, we, you know, as Americans, though, traveling, you know, overseas or going to Europe, you know, we see things that we don't have here.
Right.
Like there's, you know, people live in these houses that have been around for like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Like there's so much history that we don't really have here. Everything's
right.
more like built up, you know.
That's
where there
true.
it's like a whole different feel,
right.
a different culture. So I guess, you know,
yeah.
either way, yeah, America's, you know, always been the land of opportunity. But even coming from here, I think even in general, just going somewhere you're not familiar with is
right.
always going to be really amazing.
Right.
Yeah. So.
No, absolutely.
That's
you know.
Cool.
So you were like, and what did you take in college?
I studied business administration, management, and economy.
Cool. And so you were going to actually do that in Russia, right? That
yes,
was before you decided.
I started working on the third year of college as well. We actually have 5 years of college, not 4 as here. And then if you continue one more year, you can get your MBA.
Oh, okay, nice.
So I just finished 5 years. In the third year, I started working in marketing and management. But, you know, the thing that really was bothering me as I was there is the climate. The climate was the biggest issue for me.
Yeah.
I like sun and I like warm weather,
mm-hmm.
Palm trees, ocean. So basically, I was trying to travel somewhere in Europe whenever I had the chance to enjoy those things. Unfortunately, St. Petersburg is pretty cloudy and pretty cold city.
Yeah.
And every time I would have to go back home, I was sort of unhappy. I was
right.
feeling very like strongly that I don't want to go back because it's going to be cloudy again. It's going to be
gray,
cold.
Yeah.
It's going to be dark when you wake up and it's going to be dark when you go to sleep. So I started thinking like, where is the place where I would really want to be, where I would be feeling happy? So it's kind of like it's funny to say, but you want to live in a place where people go on vacation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'd want to live in Hawaii for sure, you know? So it's true. But but you've been to L.A. before you decided to move?
No, I haven't been in L.A., but thanks to Hollywood, we all know how beautiful California is.
Right.
So
and it's easy to get here.
Yeah, it was a pretty easy choice. I kind of decided I just want to be in California, in Los Angeles, and so that's how I made it.
That's amazing, you know, because like if I wanted to move to a new city or something, I would probably want to go there first and check it out and stuff, you know, before I'm committed to it. But but you probably felt it that this is where you belong.
Yeah,
you know,
for some reason, you know, that's what you do when you like, you know, 20, and you just have this idea, and you kind of prepare yourself, and it's an adventure anyways, and if something doesn't work out, it's just an experience, you know,
right.
But this, everything worked out perfectly. Now, I've been here for over 10 years, this is my home now. I can't imagine, you know, not living in Los Angeles right now. Mm-hmm. I still love to travel. Whenever I have a chance, I travel anywhere.
Right.
But now, when I come back, it doesn't matter how amazing the trip was, I actually am very happy to come back.
Right.
And as the flight, you know, flying in over, and the plane is last hour cruising over the city of lights.
It's beautiful.
I look down
and
I'm like, well, I'm home. This is Los Angeles. I'm home. And, you know, that's a very good feeling.
Yeah.
To
it
have.
Is.
That's a great
it
feeling.
Is. It happens to me too. You know, I mean, I always look forward to coming back here. So I think the best thing for anybody when they get tired of where they live, take a trip, you know, take a little vacation and then come back, you know, and you see it in a whole different perspective.
Yeah,
I think.
You appreciate it.
Yeah,
for sure.
You really do, you know. Well, this is awesome. So you came to L.A. What was the first thing that you did?
Well, I went to Santa Monica Beach.
Yeah, but that didn't pay the bills, right?
No, you know, as I said, I came prepared. I had some money saved, and I was staying with my parents' friends for some time, as you know, until I was able to find a job. But I had to, you know, a little bit unwind and explore the city and have a little bit of a good time. So I spent some time, a couple of weeks, just going to Santa Monica and enjoying that beautiful
amazing.
View and, you know, hanging at the beach and enjoy the sunshine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's pretty good. So by the time you came here, your English was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, of
and
course,
that's important.
I still have an accent, but...
So do I, and I've been here 35 years, so don't worry about it. Go on.
No, I mean, it definitely improved through the years. It's like, I think I remember some friends that I met early on, they were kind of like making some funny jokes that I'm fresh off the boat and that I sound sometime like it. But, you know, it is what it is. Through the years, of course, it's improved and it became easier. It's sort of like natural. Sometimes people ask me, what do you think, like in English or Russian sometimes?
Right.
And you know what? I honestly think like, probably English
most of the time,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like your mind is so set on talking to people like every day, all the time in English that you kind of like really becomes your nature as well.
Exactly, exactly. And you also, when you come here, one of the biggest hurdles is the slang, right? Because that's stuff that you don't really learn in school.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah.
So you come
and
here
it's always
and start,
changing,
oh my
too.
God.
Yeah,
there's always
know.
New slang, and it's like,
you know,
what
one
does
of
that
the
even
things
mean?
That was freaking me out when I moved here, it was what's up. Oh my God.
What's up, huh?
What's up? I could not understand it at all. It's like I would go to the store and, you know, like the store clerk anywhere, they're like, hey, what's up? And it was like literally put me like in a freeze moment. I'm like, what's up what? It's like I really couldn't understand the meaning of it.
Right.
So I had to like ask some friends, what does it mean? You know, what's up? Like how I'm supposed to answer this? Yeah, so sometimes very small things that now we use, you know, every day
that's
can
true.
Put someone who just came brand new culture in complete shock.
Yeah.
Like, what's up? Yeah.
Right.
Great. Well, guys.
Translating that, like, what's up? Like, yeah. I don't know, the sky, the ceiling. I don't know. Yeah. Like, yeah. It doesn't really, I don't know. It doesn't really make all that much sense.
No,
but
it doesn't.
We say
you know?
It because it's common.
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
hey,
it
what's
is.
Up?
You, know?
You don't really think what you're saying.
Exactly.
It's
you
so
know?
Funny.
I mean, I went, when I went to South Africa, people are like constantly, how's it? You know, and it's like, what do you mean, how's it? You know, but it's like, how is it? But how's it? You know, and I'm like, you know, I didn't know what they meant in the beginning. You know?
Should say, what's and, up?
But. Yeah, exactly. What's up? You know, they know our English because they see the movies and stuff, you know, so they know
right,
better our slang. But at any rate, it's a great experience to come here and learn new things and stuff. What was, did you get a job when you came here?
Yes,
what
I
were
got
you doing?
A job. I got a job. I was hired by the company that used to manufacture fashion jewelry.
Uh-huh.
So I did that for a few years, and it was another great experience. The company, when I joined them, they were very, like, in the early stages of beginning, starting the company.
Uh-huh.
It was great people. They welcomed me. They actually also had a Russian background. They were immigrants themselves, 30 years ago. So they kind of, right. you know, supported me and understood,
oh, nice.
You know, sort of, like, gave some help in the beginning to the person who needed it, as which I was at that time. And was the company grew amazingly, and I grew with the company, and then I became the head of production and manufacturing for the company. I was doing that for a few years. It was amazing. I traveled, to Hong Kong and China many times. I met amazing people. I used to deal with, beautiful pieces of jewelry,
uh-huh.
met some amazing designers. It was fun for the certain amount of time, but then, as you grow older and you learn things, and I started to feel that I just want to do something on my own. I want to be my own person. I want to make my own schedule and sort of like have my own business.
Right.
And by the same time, I became a citizen as well, and I brought my parents to the country as
nice.
Well.
Nice.
And my father is also in construction business. He's a developer back in Russia. So we kind of like on a family level, we discussed what can be possible move for me and came, to the conclusion that might be very good for me and for the business, for the family as well, for me to transfer to the real estate. So I did, and I'm very happy with this change.
Wonderful. Now, how did you get into real estate? I mean, did you know anything about it before?
No, you know, it's like majority of the people, just hearing a word escrow scares the hell out of me. Like, what is the escrow anyways? Right? How you buy the house? Like, what is the... I didn't know much. I had a few friends who were... by that time, very successful real estate agents themselves.
Right.
So, I talked to them. I talked about their experiences, and they told me that, they feel they're very happy with their career. They're doing very well. They told me that they think I should, definitely try it. They think I should be good with that.
Right.
And I made the decision. Then you just go through your courses, you study, you pass the exam, and you're on your merry way. You buy yourself and go and conquer the world. It's all yours.
Awesome. And you sound like pretty independent and ambitious and stuff, so I can see where you'd want to have your own business,
Yeah.
Because after a while, you just... I'm not going to work so hard here and help somebody else build their dream.
Yes.
I'll build my dream.
Well, I mean, I was very thankful and appreciative to the company,
Of course.
And I did, mm-hmm. We stayed together for a long, long time. But everyone eventually comes to, their terms and what is the best for me, what is the next move as we change, we grow, our interests
absolutely,
change.
Absolutely, yeah. You can't stay there forever,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because besides, I like changes all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Just like I say, you don't have to stay with the same person forever, right? Let's change every once in a while. Like we change our shoes, So.
No, I don't think it applies to people. I would definitely not say that. I think relationships are something that we should all cherish. It's something, one of the most valuable things that we as humans can possibly have.
Right. But I can say that about jobs too, and yet you want to change, it depends, it's different. So how do you find the real estate market today. How long have you been doing real estate now?
I switched to real estate in 2012.
Okay, so you've been here for a couple, almost a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you're pretty new at this now. So are you liking it so far? I mean, is that what you want to do?
I mean, I definitely joined at a good time when, you know, the market crashed in 2008, 2009.
Right.
But in 2012, already the market started to come back up. And this year, actually, as I joined, like in early 2013, everything pretty much skyrocketed. The inventory, like, you know, people started to feel comfortable buying again. But sellers were not selling much because they felt the prices are not there yet.
Right.
So it was this balance where people want to buy, but there's nothing to buy. And of course, when the sellers realized that, they started putting up the prices. I'm not talking about the whole Los Angeles or like California, the whole United States. I'm talking about very specific areas in the west side of Los Angeles. So it created like this dynamic that there are buyers, all cash buyers, investors, and there's no inventory. So the prices went up, and I think market is still in the same condition as of like a year later. We looked at the, we just received the statistics report from my company, the market trends comparing December 2012 and December 2013, and we can see very consistent growth in specific areas like Beverly Hills, Beverly Hills Post Office, West Hollywood, Echo Park, Silver Lake, Los Feliz are very like stable areas where market goes up. Inventory is still very low, but the percentage of prices went up from like 20% to 50% compared in 2012.
Really, in one year?
In one year.
Wow!
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
So no wonder people don't want to sell yet.
Yeah.
So what that means is that you don't have as much work because there's no transactions going on.
Yes.
Right?
So and actually, yes, the inventory is less, but everything that comes on the market actually gets sold pretty fast because people are shopping. There's too many buyers.
Right.
Now. We are starting to see a little bit more inventory on the market. Of course, you know, the holidays are always a slow season, so people don't want to deal with hustle of moving and selling and buying through the holiday weekends. But now as we are back to normal, new year, I see the, you know, more inventory coming in, people, you know, looking, they're buying, they're selling, the deal's closing much faster. So it's actually exciting time. It's not like we have less work, it's a harder work.
Right.
Because then you need to, there are ways to find places besides, you know, something that's on the market. You talk to people you know, you talk to fellow agents.
Right.
There's always something, you know, there are other ways to find something for your client if you're dealing with the buyer. It's just more hard work and, you know, scraping something from, you know, behind the, you know, behind the market, behind something that is visible to get something for your client.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing, is that networking and everything, right?
I mean,
you gotta, because it's not like you just sort of like advertise, I'm an agent and everybody's going to come to you and everything. You gotta go out there and find it.
Yes. You have to have definitely a network of, you know, you should have a good network of the agents from different agencies. The more people you know, the easier it is to actually, you know, pick up a phone and make a personal call and ask, hey, you know, I'm looking for this and that. Do you have something? And, you know, they have their network as well, so they can talk to other people if they like you, if it's a personal relationship. People will help you. Then same with clients, you know. The best way to find clients is referrals through your friends. So you have to have a good, you know, network of people you know who like you, who, you know, trust you enough to refer you to the next client, to someone else, or give a good word like, oh, yeah, so she was wonderful, you know, through this deal, or maybe not, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So basically, it really, real estate comes down to personal relationship on all levels.
That's true, yeah. I mean, I can totally see that.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So you deal in residential real estate, right?
Yes.
And what area? You said West L.A. and Beverly Hills?
West L.A., so most of my areas are starting like Echo Park, Silver Lake, and then, you know, gradually down to the beach. So that's the West the west side of Los Angeles. That place.
Yeah, which is more upper scale and everything for those who don't know.
And it's a very like it's a very high demand area. Really, a lot of people, if they can afford it, they can find something even on a like bottom level. Really? They would rather be there than you know somewhere else.
Than a nicer house, but in a lesser area. That's what you're saying.
Yes, exactly.
So the location
it
is more.
Yeah.
So the location is more important than the house itself. Would you say?
It depends on a person itself and their you know circumstances in life at the moment. You know, if it's a single person in let's say 20s to you know 40s, they want to be in the middle of the action. You know,
right.
Like in the middle of like this crazy fun area when you just can't get out and you know you have all the restaurants and bars and stores and. You like in the middle of the action.
Yeah, like me.
Like where I live.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, and if it's a family or, you know, someone who just wants peace and quiet, you know, of course they will choose a bigger house somewhere like in a quieter neighborhood.
Right.
It really comes down to where they are, who they are and where they want to be like in at least a couple years.
Right. Very interesting. So give out your information for someone who wants to have you help them out, find
sure.
a house, sell a house. How do people get a hold of you?
I can give my cell phone number or...
do you have a website or you don't
need one? I do have a website.
Okay.
I'm an agent with Rodeo Realty.
Okay.
My website is... You can find me on Rodeo Realty website. My name is Anya Denisova.
Uh-huh.
Or my website is www.anyadenisova.com.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I mean, if anyone has any questions, if you want to even know, like, a value of your house, what it was worth right now in the market,
right.
Seek the comparables, see what is going on in your area. I can, you know, we'll be more than happy to just give this information, even if you are not ready to sell or buy now.
Right.
You know, understanding where you are and what is happening around you, like, you know, your neighborhood, it's a very good and helpful tool to see if you want, you know, just stay there for a little bit longer or maybe go to the next step.
Right. Sounds good. Well, Anya...
Very informative.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Rodeo Realty, right?
Yes.
And that's based on Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills, for those who don't know.
Well,
right?
We actually have few offices.
Few offices,
yes.
Right. But that's
mm-hmm.
the name. I mean,
yes.
The name is associated
yes,
with that.
Correct.
And, well, many many more good times for you as friends and stuff. I mean, she seems like a great would be a great friend. You
she
know?
Is, she yeah. is a really great friend.
And
Anya's
I
the
know,
best.
I know. She's like surrounded. I told her she surrounded herself with all these beautiful Russian women, and
yeah.
I said, "What is it? You know, she might have some Russian in her ancestry or something."
It's true, though. I like looking back. I do have a lot of Russian female friends.
Right.
I have Anya, Anna, Ina, Alina.
Right. Are you all in the same group, though?
No. Well, no. Well, you know Ina.
Yeah.
Ina's kind of in the same group. I think you've met Anna
right.
before.
So it's not like you just met one group and they're all Russian.
Right. No, that's
no.
what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
They're all
that's
like
weird.
Different groups. It's so funny.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I love
well,
it.
Anya, all the best to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you,
know?
You for having me. It was a great time.
Of course.
Yeah,
it's a
sure.
it's a story, I think, of success and showing that, you know, you got to go after what you want,
yeah.
you know. And if you're unhappy where you are, there's always other places where you can actually make a life for yourself. And actually,
I think the key is at least to try. At least to try. And, you know, if, as I said, if for whatever reason you don't succeed, at least you'll earn an experience. But
right.
if you really want it and you just put an effort and keep believing in yourself, you know, it will work out.
Sounds good. Okay, Anya, and give your last name again?
Denisova.
Denisova. Anya Denisova. And yeah, if I had it spelled in front of me, it'd be easier. But no, it's okay. So, Anya, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And Mia, one more day.
One more day.
One more friggin' day. I don't want to think about it.
I'm so sad. Okay.
All right. Well, Anya, thank you. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thank you. Have a great day.
And we'll see
see
you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.